Golden was the warrior from the land of the midnight sun, with a Thompson gun for hire, fighting to be done. The deal was made in Denmark on a dark and stormy day, so he set out for Biafra to join the bloody fray.
Hi folks, this is Bob Main, and you are listening to the Handgun World Show. Why do I carry a gun? Because I can't carry a cop. They're a little too heavy these days. Thanks for tuning in. This is episode number 28 of the Handgun World Show, and if you are listening for the very first time, I want to welcome you and tell you that this is a practical show. I am not a gunsmith. I'm not law enforcement. I'm not ex-military. None of that. I'm just a private citizen who believes very strongly in my right to carry a handgun for self-defense. So, needless to say, I'm a huge Second Amendment supporter. But the reason you're tuning into this show, I want to let you know, is that I'm not going to tell you how to trick out your AR-15 or how to make your handgun shoot, you know, tight one-inch groups and things like that, because I really don't know that much about stuff. But I have been carrying and shooting a pistol actively for about 5 years, so I'm going to talk to you about some of the personal experiences I've had. I also do some research. I talk to a lot of gun owners. I talk to a lot of firearms trainers. And I try to put it all together into a concise show that's going to help you and make sense for you. So again, thanks for tuning in. Our website is www.handgunworld.com. And if you are an iTunes user, you can also find us on iTunes by searching Handgun World Show on iTunes. By the way, if you are an iTunes user, jump on there and tell me what you think of the show. Give it some ratings. I'm trying to boost the ratings a little bit, try to get it noticed a little bit more. And, you know, whether you have something good to say or whether you have something bad to say, hopefully there's not too many bad comments out there. But, you know, not everybody's going to agree with everything I say on this show. In fact, I'm going to cover that here in just a few minutes. So I take it constructively. When I take criticism, I take it constructively. I want it to be a good show. I want it to be about you, the listener. So if you could do that, I'd appreciate that. So enough of the announcements. Let's dive right into it. The two subjects that I want to talk about on today's show is, first of all, what is the purpose of a handgun? Sometimes people get the purpose of a handgun mixed up a little bit. So I'm going to talk about that, and I'll elaborate. So stay with me. And the second topic that I want to talk about, I got an email from a listener that asked me if I could cover some material on recommending a handgun for newcomers, like for beginners. What should beginners buy? What should be the first purchase that they should make? So I'm going to try the best I can to address those two, give you some ideas and some facts, and then let you be the judge. And so with that, let's dive right into it. Let's talk about the first subject, which, what's the purpose of a handgun? You know, I think you've probably heard it said, you never take a handgun to a gunfight. Yeah, if you know that you're going to go and you're going to expect trouble, take a long gun, take a rifle or a shotgun. Again, you've probably heard that saying, never take a handgun to a gunfight. You know, kind of like people say, never take a knife to a gunfight. Well, that's true enough. I would agree with that. You know, never take a handgun to a gunfight. But think about something, okay? How many times are you expecting a gunfight? I mean, come on, folks. I believe in self-defense, but I don't believe in going to look for trouble. As I mentioned, I'm not in the military. Now, if you are in the military and you're in active duty, for example, then you might be going to look for a gunfight because you're going to go into harm's way. But that's different. This is not a podcast about military combat service. This is a podcast about self-defense that civilians will encounter, and they don't typically go in looking for it. All right? At least I hope you're not the type of person that goes and looks for it. So with that in mind, you have to understand that how are you going to take a long gun to that? If you don't know what's coming up, how are you going to take a shotgun or a rifle to that? Now, you can't go walking around. I mean, shotguns and rifles, you can't conceal those things. You know, here in the state of Texas, actually, technically, you're not breaking the law if you walk around with a loaded shotgun that's exposed. Technically, that's not against the law. But it's not a very smart thing to do either, is it? I wouldn't recommend that. I don't think that's a very bright thing to do. You're going to get a lot of unnecessary attention. So people who say you should never take a handgun to a gunfight, I'm not really sure what they're talking about. And you know, folks, you might disagree with some of what I'm talking about on this show, because I do inject my opinions into this. I'll be honest. And it's okay to disagree with me. And, you know, if you want to disagree with me on something, that's fine. I have a comment section on the blog to do that. Again, I take it constructively. I'm not going to get offended by it, and I use it to improve the show. But, you know, come on. How many people are actually going to be going to look for a gunfight? Here's something else that I've heard people say. I see this on the internet a lot. I've heard people say it. I've heard them say, well, the purpose of a pistol is to fight your way to your rifle. Right, is to fight your way back to your hand, fight your way back to your rifle or your shotgun. Again, I think that was Clint Smith from Thunder Ranch who started saying that, and you know, Clint comes from a military background, I believe. And again, I'm not picking on him, by the way. I'm not picking on his organization. Fantastic. I mean, Clint Smith, some of the stuff that he teaches, it's right on. I mean, he's excellent. So his Thunder Ranch Shooting Academy. It's one of my goals to go there and take a class. But I think that applies more to military combat. Yes, soldiers use their handgun to fight their way to their rifle so they can get their rifle and hopefully end the fight or at least gain the advantage. I don't think civilians really are going to find themselves in a position like that too much. I really don't. I think you're going to be fighting for your survival. You're going to be in a self-defense mode. And it's probably going to be over before you can get to your shotgun or your rifle. You know, it's been said over and over again about the 3-3-3 rule. And I'm a big proponent of the 3-3-3 rule. And that is, most confrontations that involve firearms are over in 3 shots, 3 seconds, and within 3 yards. Okay? 3 shots, 3 seconds, 3 yards. And investigators have proven that over and over again. Sometimes just even the sight of a handgun ends the conflict. So it's not like you're going to be trying to get to your rifle or get to your shotgun. That's, you know, I mean, am I saying that that's impossible? No, I'm not saying that that's impossible. That could happen. And you know, in the last show, you heard me talk about a college graduate student who shot a burglar breaking into his house. That was actually earlier this week. I think it was on Monday. And he grabbed a shotgun. You know, he had a shotgun nearby. He was able to get to it first. Okay? That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about, let's say you're out and about, you're on the street, you get assaulted in the street or something like that, or whatever. The chances are, if you got your handgun on you, I hope you're concealed carrying your handgun, it's probably going to be over. And even if somebody breaks into your house and you grab your handgun first, okay? Let's say that's the closest thing to you. Let's say you're carrying your handgun on your person while you're in your house. I really doubt that the fight is going to last long enough for you to get to your shotgun or get to your rifle, unless your shotgun or rifle is probably within about 10 feet of you at all times in your house. Just my humble opinion, folks. I think it's going to be kind of tough for you to get to it. So, again, your handgun is probably 97 to 98% of the time. That's what you're going to have to depend on to end the fight. So, I would suggest that you be real careful about thinking that the only purpose of a handgun is to fight your way back to your long gun. And that's why I'm a big proponent of getting proficient with your handgun, getting good training, being able to know how to use it well, being able to fire multiple shots. You know, can you get 3 or 4 shots off in a couple of seconds? You know, that's probably all that it's going to take. I mean, I'm serious. Even if you're just carrying a 380, for example, okay, if you have good ammunition and a 380, and you can pop off 4 or 5 shots, and you can put them all on target, you can put them all on that bad guy in a couple of seconds, I'd say there's a very good chance he's going to stop what he's doing. All right? Most criminals don't really want to get shot. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, folks. If you do have a chance to get to your shotgun or get to your rifle, by all means, get it and end the conflict. Nothing's more devastating inside of 25 yards. There, I don't think there's any weapon that a civilian can buy and use and buy it affordably and practice with it affordably. I don't think there's any weapon that's more devastating and has the impact than a shotgun inside of 25 yards. Now, for law enforcement personnel, there are times when they have to go on calls and they know that there is an armed subject waiting on them when they get there. You know, a man with a gun call. And, you know, man with a gun call are pretty common for law enforcement, for police. They have to answer those. So, yes, then I would say go ahead and take your rifle or shotgun, of course. Now, I've also heard people say, well, I have a trunk rifle. Okay, I've always got an inexpensive rifle in the trunk of my vehicle, and my handgun is to get me to that rifle. Well, I want to submit something to you. If you get into some kind of an altercation, even if it's in the vicinity of your car, how long is it going to take you to get to your trunk and get the trunk open? And get the rifle out of the trunk and get it on target and be able to shoot the bad guy. In that amount of time, I mean, I want you to practice that once. practice, let's say you're let's say you're in the front of your car, all right, and something happens. Practice how long does it take you to get to your trunk and get to the rifle. How long does it take you if you're in the driver's seat to open up the door, get to your trunk, get your rifle out? It could be over in that amount of time. So that's where the handgun is going to come in to play to help you and save your life. Okay, so enough on that point. I think you can gain my opinion from that and take it for what it's worth. Now, just get real proficient with your handguns, folks. Just learn how to use them. Learn how to use them well, and I think you'll be well-armed with your handgun. Now, shift gears. Let me go into point number two, and that is handguns for beginners or starter guns. What should you start with? You know, this can cause some argument, but here's what I want to say. I think that the first gun you get, if you are not a gun owner right now, if you don't own any handguns at all, you have to answer a question, first of all. What do you want to do with the handgun? Do you live in a state that allows concealed carry? Or do you live in a country that allows concealed carry? Is this going to be a full-time carry pistol? So let's start off with that. If it's a full-time carry pistol, then I think your first handgun should be what you're going to carry. All right, go get exactly what you are going to carry. Go to a range that rents pistols and shoot 10 or 12 guns. Figure out which four you like the best. Then wait a couple days. Go back to that range. Rent those four out of the first 10 or 12 that you rented. Rent those four again. Shoot them. Pick one of those four. All right, and get the type that you're going to conceal carry. Find the size you want. Find the size that you feel you can conceal. Is it going to be a 3-inch? Is it going to be a 4-inch? Are you the kind of person that can conceal a full size 5-inch 1911? Not a lot of people can do that, and not a lot of people are willing to carry that 5-inch 1911 with them all the time, especially if it's their first gun. But if that's for you, if that's your cup of tea, fine. If it's going to be your concealed carry gun, just get what it is that you're going to carry. And here's what I mean. I hear a lot of people get bad advice. All right? I hear novices being told, go get yourself a .22. All right? Go get yourself a .22 and practice with that first. And after you get good with your .22, then go buy a concealed carry gun. I'm going to disagree with that. And again, I'm not saying that .22s are bad guns to purchase. They're excellent guns to teach shooters how to shoot. But if the question is, what's the first gun I should get? I'm answering that because I'm assuming that it might be the only gun you get for a while. And I would much rather defend myself with a small 9mm pistol that I can conceal all the time than to try to defend myself with a Ruger Mark III 22. All right. I would say a Ruger Mark III 22 would be something that might be your second or third gun purchase that you can buy and shoot it cheaply because the ammo is cheap, and learn to practice your shooting skills with that and perfect and hone your shooting skills. So it's a good practice gun. But I'm going to take exception, and I may get some people disagreeing with me. I know that. But I'm going to take exception, and I would say go get what you're going to carry first. I don't want to get into a caliber war, though. Because if I start throwing out reasons, you know, why 9mm, why 40, why 45, and stuff like that, that's just a never-ending argument. Okay, but take it from me. Let me give you some personal experience. I made a huge mistake. The first pistol I ever owned was a Sig Sauer P226. A Sig Sauer P226, a very large, heavy 9mm service pistol. Fantastic gun. Nothing wrong with a Sig Sauer P226. Even had a stainless steel slide. Okay, beautiful gun. Accurate, stone cold reliable, never failed on me. Just a fantastic gun. You know what? I never carried that gun for 1 minute. Never carried it for 1 minute. For me, it was just too big. I just didn't want to put it on my belt and lug that thing around all day. It's great if you're a cop. It's great if you're in military. You know, if you're on a SEAL team or something like that. Or it's great if you're in some kind of a profession like that where... it's, you know what else it's good for? It's good for open carry. If you don't have to try to hide that thing. I never carried it for a minute. And so I regret making that my first gun. As I mentioned, if you listen to my last show, I talked about short-barreled versus long-barreled weapons, and I think you probably got the point from listening to my last episode that a short-barreled gun can actually be pretty accurate. If you practice with it, it can be pretty accurate. A bullet is stabilized pretty quickly inside that barrel. You don't need to have a real long barrel to stabilize the gun. So if you practice with it, it's all about how you train. You can be very proficient with a short-barreled weapon. So that's my thoughts on the first gun, if it's a gun that you want to conceal carry. If you don't care about conceal carry, all right, maybe you live where it's not allowed, you know, not legal to carry, or maybe it's just not your cup of tea. Maybe you just don't want to carry a gun, and that's okay. That's okay. If people don't want to exercise their Second Amendment rights, I'm not going to hold that against them. And some of you might be listening to this show, and you believe in owning guns and shooting them, but maybe you just don't believe in carrying it. That's good. You know, welcome to my show. If that's your position, then what I would say is the best beginner gun in that situation probably would be a semi-automatic .22 caliber, like a Ruger Mark III, for example, or a Browning Buck Mark .22 semi-automatic. I would say that would be a good starter gun. The reason being is you could defend yourself with it. All right? It's not ideal. But well-placed shots with .22s, you can defend yourself with it. As a matter of fact, one thing is that's nice about those Ruger Mark IIIs, those semi-automatic .22s, man, you can shoot those things fast. The recoil is so low. And once you get good with it, and they have such nice triggers on them, all right, they have such buttery smooth triggers on them. You can really pop off a lot of shots in a short period of time. So you remember earlier in this podcast, I was talking about, you know, getting shots off quickly and hitting your target quickly in 2 or 3 seconds. You'd be amazed once you practice with one of those .22s how quickly you can get shots off. And they make great practice guns because the ammo is cheap. You know, a brick of .22 ammo, 500 rounds, is, you know, less than $25, I think. Been a while since I bought some, but I think it's still less than $25 for 500 rounds. If you shop around, you could probably do better than that. So that would be a good starter gun, especially for young people, especially for kids or teenagers. You want to teach them how to shoot. That's excellent if you want to teach them how to shoot a handgun. If you want to teach them how to shoot a long gun, then go get like a Ruger 10-22, or I got my son a Mossberg semi-automatic .22 just because it was on sale, and I got it for less than $100, and it's a good starter gun. He loves the gun. I put a little scope on it recently for him. I did teach him to shoot the iron sights first, though, and that's something else I want to say about starter guns. for those of you brand new getting into handguns, all right, don't put any fancy sights on them. Just shoot the sights that come with the gun and get good at those sights, especially if you go buy one of those semi-automatic 22s. They've already got fairly decent sights on them. Yeah, and let me talk about long guns for a little bit. I know this is the Handgun World Show, but I want to go ahead and talk about long guns for a minute. If it's your first gun, if it's your first rifle, then I'm going to give you the same suggestion, and that would be to stick with the iron sights that come with the rifle and don't change them. Now, the only exception that I would make, let me back up a minute in my comment earlier about handguns when I said don't change the sights. The only exception I'd make are Glocks, and you know I like Glock brand pistols, but man, the sights that come with a factory Glock are just terrible. So, you know, go ahead and change those, but getting back to rifles, shoot the iron sights. You know, it's been said, spend 500 to 1,000 rounds shooting and getting good with your iron sights. The biggest reason for that is if your scope fails, you got to have a backup. And you can always use your iron sights if your scope or your optics fail. That's the theory behind that. And plus, it also sharpens up your marksmanship as well, and especially if you're going to use your gun for hunting. And you need to drop that game, you know, and let's say your scope is screwing up and you just can't use it, you know, you got to be able to feel confident with shooting your iron sights as well. After you get good, and you know I'm a big fan of giving every gun 1,000 round trigger jobs anyway, so after you get good and you give it that 1,000 round trigger job, then put all the fancy optics and things and scopes or whatever you want to do on your rifle. So getting back to handguns. Those 22s are great for a good starter gun. Now, if it's your first gun and you want it to be your home defense weapon, let's say you don't have any other weapons at all, and it's going to be a handgun, and it's going to be your very first gun, and it's strictly going to be for home defense, it's not going to be for concealed carry, then basically three guns come to mind. All right, and again, this is if you're not going to carry it. Let's talk about revolvers for a minute. Nothing wrong with a good .357 Magnum revolver. A good Smith & Wesson or Taurus .357 Magnum, I would get a 4-inch barrel or longer. Actually, I like the 4-inch because they balance nicely. And you can be accurate enough, as I mentioned, with a 4-inch barrel. And one of the reasons I recommend a .357 Magnum is because you can shoot .38 specials through it. You can practice with the .38 specials. They don't recoil as much. They're less costly to purchase. And then you can keep it loaded with the .357 Magnums when you're in defense mode or when you're keeping it in the house in the safe. It can be loaded with the .357s to give you good stopping power. So that's something to consider, is a good revolver. I would not recommend a good a 45 caliber revolver as a very first gun. 45 ACP revolvers are fantastic weapons, but I would not recommend it as a good first gun, simply because the recoil is pretty heavy, especially using factory ammunition, and most new gun owners are not going to be reloading right away, so they're going to be using factory ammo, and it's expensive to buy, and it's got heavy recoil to it. Okay, and since I'm on the subject of revolvers, I have a listener to this show, one of my very first listeners, who's also a member of my survival forum and listens to my survival show, and he goes by the username of Pigpen. I won't give his name out on the air, but he uses a a 22 caliber revolver. Nothing wrong with that. That's an excellent pistol, especially if you get good with it. I think he said it was a 7-shot or 8-shot 22 revolver. Let me tell you, 7, again, like I say, if you can shoot it fast, 7 or 8 shots of .22, nothing wrong with it. And by the way, if some of you like to talk about self-sufficiency and survivalism and stuff like that, this just popped into my head since I'm talking about Pigpen. If you want, check out my other website, www.todayssurvival.com. I do another podcast on how to live a more secure life by just practicing modern survival techniques. Good practical stuff over there, folks. No tinfoil hat kind of stuff. No paranoia. We just talk about practical living. So I wanted to put that plug in there for my other show. But again, his .22 revolver, excellent starter gun. Next, let me talk about 1911s. I know I got a lot of 1911 fans. In fact, I got one 1911 fan that listens to this show that gave me a real nice comment on iTunes. Thank you. Thank you, sir, for what you did. And you know who you are, and that's fantastic. I appreciate it. And, you know, you guys know that I talk a lot about Glocks on this show, but you also know that I've said that 1911s are fine, fine weapons. Would I recommend it as a very first gun? No, I would not. I would not recommend a 1911-style 45 ACP as your first gun. Let me explain why. And again, I'm not picking on 1911, so all of you who are 1911 enthusiasts, forgive me here, but this is not meant to be knocking your guns or anything like that. A couple of reasons. A new shooter needs to have as simple of a gun as possible, in my opinion. Because they need to be practicing things like proper grip, proper stance, alignment, sight picture, stuff like that. Before they even get into any combat training, they got to learn how to shoot and be safe with it. A gun without a safety, a gun without a thumb safety, in my opinion, is more simplistic and easier for a new shooter to learn how to use. 1911s, you have to grip them properly. If your grip is too high, it's going to cause a problem. If you don't have a firm enough grip on it, you're not going to depress the grip safety. Unless you disable that, which I would not suggest for new shooters. You've got to remember to depress that thumb safety. And a 1911 in 45 caliber can sometimes be too much of a handful for a new shooter. And unfortunately, what happens is a new shooter buys a 1911, they go buy some factory-loaded 45s, some practice stuff, some ball ammo in 45 ACP, and then just for the heck of it, because somebody told them to, they buy a box of Corban 45s or Spear Gold Dot super hot-loaded defense ammo, and they go shoot a couple boxes of practice ammo, and then they stick that defense ammo in there, and it recoils like a son of a gun on them, and that thing is just out of control, and they get afraid of it. And they don't like to shoot it. And it's not a pleasant experience. And then guess what happens? That new gun owner, who is all psyched up about that handgun that they purchased, all of a sudden quits shooting, or they quit shooting as much as they should. Sometimes they even sell that gun. And for those of you who are 1911 enthusiasts, sometimes you can find a really good deal on a 1911, a used 1911 that looks like it's never been shot, and it's in perfect shape. You know who probably owned that gun? I'd say there's a very good chance it was a brand new shooter who owned it and realized they didn't like it. It was too much of a gun for them. So, you just got a good deal on that 1911. It's in fantastic shape because they ran one box of ammo through it, and now they don't want it anymore. That's why I would not recommend them. Once you get proficient with a handgun, then a 1911 is fabulous. But I would say get proficient with a handgun first. That's just my personal opinion. Again, I know I may have some folks that disagree, and I respect your opinions. And if you've got a differing opinion, go ahead and send me a comment on it. I would welcome that. Okay? And last but not least, as far as a starter gun, I really like, as you know, I like the mid-size semi-automatic in 9mm. A Glock 19, a Springfield XD9, a Smith & Wesson M&P 9. That's a real good starter gun. Very, very soft recoil, the Smith & Wesson M&P 9. And actually, their compact model is a nice one because it's a little bit bigger than a baby Glock, but it's smaller than the actual Glock 19. So it's kind of a right in-between size, and it fits a lot of people's hands. They do have removable back straps, so if you have small hands, you can put the small back strap on, make the grip smaller. If you got big hands, you can put the big back strap on it. That's an excellent starter gun. And ultra-reliable, ultra-simple. All three of those that I just mentioned are very simple. Taurus, also. Taurus makes some nice 9mm guns out there. Again, keep in mind, folks, I'm talking about a gun that you're not going to carry, that you're not going to conceal. It's going to be a home defense weapon. And maybe you don't have a shotgun, and maybe you don't have a rifle, or maybe you do have a shotgun and rifle, but you want a handgun for home defense. These recommendations I just gave you is what I would suggest that you look for. And nothing wrong with buying used, either. Nothing wrong at all. have with buying used. As I just mentioned, a lot of used guns have barely been shot because somebody bought it, didn't like it, and they put it up for sale. Go back and listen to one of my earlier episodes. I think it was episode 2 or 3, I think. I did a whole podcast on how to buy a used handgun and what to look for in a used handgun, and even how to buy them on the Internet. Gave you some good ideas on that. So, with that said, I'm going to bring this show to a close. I covered some information on what the purpose of a handgun is and how I really don't think that the main purpose of a handgun is to fight your way to your shotgun or your rifle. And we also covered in this show that some recommendations on what to get as a starter gun, depending on whether it's something you want to carry or something that you want to use as a home defense weapon. So with that said, I am going to go ahead and bring this episode to a close. My name is Bob Main, and this is the Handgun World Show. And thank you for listening today, or this evening, or however it is that you're listening to me, or whatever time it is. I appreciate you tuning in. And why do I carry a gun? Because I can't carry a cop. Thanks again for listening. Catch you next time.
Eternally Thompson Gunner, still wandering through the night. Now it's 10 years later, but it still keeps up the fight. In Ireland, in Lebanon, in Palestine, in Berkeley.